podcast. KellerKellerOfficial.com.
You need the Kellervision app. 24/7 mini documentaries, podcasts, live shows, DJ live streams, top fives, subscription packages, plus products for all your podcasts and street culture sports. Download it from the App Store for free today.
Beatbox created.
KellerKeller.
And we're here to talk about world music and street culture.
KellerKeller Podcast.
Damn. Ladies and gentlemen, KellerKeller Podcast, live and direct, Central London, or as central as you need to be. Pleasure having you on board. Big shout out to graffitikings.co.uk. And you know we keep it street culture with the Kellervision app every single time. So if you haven't got that app, download it. Free Android, iPhone, you know what it is. Hey, well, we have a very special guest inside the flat. I must say, I'm a fan first, you know what I mean? And I'm sure you guys are as well. If you do not know about Sarah C, then you are clearly sleeping under a rock. Toddler T, Morris Delta, man. My crew, hold tight, Birmingham. Yeah. Not to mention my brother, Roscoe. I mean, you know, the Shawnee T, the list goes on. Collaborator, professional in his field of MC diversity. Sarah C, how are you, my brother?
I'm good, bro. I'm good. MC diversity. I love them talk. Hey, you know, fam.
Hey, listen, we give it the red carpets out here.
Yeah, I'm feeling the intro, bro. I'm feeling the intro. One of the things that he failed to mention...
Go on.
And this guy, I'm going to drop some knowledge on him. Mm-hmm. You did a tune with a cousin of mine very many years ago.
Talk to me.
Dreddy.
Oh, my God. Yo, now there is a man. Hold tight, Dreddy. So solid.
Yep.
He was so solid, wasn't he?
Yeah.
I mean, he was like the bona fide producer, man.
Yeah. He's the guy.
One of my favourite human beings, I might add. He's like... Know. Energy up there to 100.
Go. There you go. 1 million.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
What's he up to now?
He produced on Buster's latest album.
Casual.
He's done so many bits and pieces, man. Obviously, big with Chipmunk and those guys as well.
Yeah.
Chippy and them, man, there. So, yeah, it's doing a lot of bits. It's doing a lot of bits, man. So, when you talk about being fans, I was a fan of yours, bro. From them time there. Like, looking up and being like, yo, shit. Yeah, I mean, sorry, can we say I don't know.
Yeah, you can do what you want. It's your podcast. Here we are, in the mix. Seriously, is in the house. And, again, what a pleasure, man. A little slight diversion, but the fact remains, your legacy is so great. It's one of those things that, when you start opening the Pandora's box of all the stuff that you've done and been privy to have experienced within a scene that, let's be honest, particularly coming from Birmingham where you have, where, you know, it's got the reggae influence, the sound system combined with the hip hop, the more solid boom bap UK hip hop that I grew up loving. Like you're all within the tapestry, eh?
Have to be. I think, especially in Brum, and especially with my kind of lineage, I suppose. Obviously, having been born in Brum, grew up in Jamaica, came back, lived in Brum, moved to London. You know what I mean? Kind of been in and around. You're just part of both sides of that framework.
Mm.
And in Brum, as well, as you'll know, especially when you know Jetty and all them, man, and Moorish and all that. You see, the Jamaican influence is so strong. You know what I mean? It's like, we call Birmingham like Little Yard. You know what I mean? It's just is that. That's the feeling. That's the vibe.
I agree.
You know what I mean? It's like, it's just that vibe. So the type of music that you come up doing is, yeah, you're spitting, but you just have to have that yard vibe with it. And then the sound systems and all of that, this is the framework of what makes it what it is, man.
100%. And I might add, just at this point, just to look at some of the old school crew. Big shout Chase, Madflow, Rock One. Who else we got inside the place? You'll have to, because I've already started running out the names. I'll be picking them up later. But, yeah, you know, I mean, this like you say, the heritage of Birmingham, I mean, it harks back a lot. I mean, I used to go hanging there, doing shows as well.
Yeah.
And in a real sepia world of performing at a real young age, it's just barely, you know... Shouldn't really be on stage age, kind of age, you know.
No. Shouldn't be. Definitely shouldn't be in the clubs.
Yeah.
Definitely shouldn't be on stage, yo. Yeah. But that's what it is, though, isn't
it? Yeah. You must have. I mean, let's go back, like, because you must certainly have experienced a succession of different generational shifts that went on in clubland, in MC, you know, art form. Mm-hmm. Let's take it there from the beginning, brother.
All right. So from the beginning, for me, was my main introduction was okay. So. for me, as far as music was concerned, I had an older uncle that had loads of uncles, but I had one particular uncle that he was into music, right? Mm. So the whole music thing and where I got my inspiration was probably him and my granddad's, to be fair, my paternal and maternal grandfathers. But anyway, talking about my uncle, he was in a group called Brian and Tony Gold. This is back in Kingston now, right? And in Brian and Tony Gold, they wrote for Shaggy. They wrote for all of these guys. So Shabba Ranks used to be rolling around. Ninja, like all of these artists, Cotty Ranks. So imagine you're a little kid, right? And you're seeing these people. And you're getting this understanding that your uncle is doing music with these people that are legends. Like, man, like, them man are legends, right?
Wow.
And you're a kid. So you just want to do that. Yeah. You know what I mean? So that was the whole vibe for me, as in I just wanted to be involved. And then, man, they used to listen to me chat about the two lyrics and, you know what I mean? Be like, all right, then cool, and give me that encouragement. And then obviously come over here and I was still on that vibe, on that wave. So then I started to get...
How old would that have been, Tom, when you came
back? That would have been about 13, 14, 13-ish, kind of age.
So you were totally, like, influenced at that
Absolutely.
Point. You're of the age.
Absolutely. Maybe a little earlier, but not much. So I come over with that environment and I come over with that kind of mentality, and I wanted to be involved as in the sound systems, right? So big shout out to Big John, Yardman Sound, Immortal, all of them sound systems that was around them kind of time there. And I just wanted to be on the mic and just chatting lyrics and, you know what I mean, being like those guys. Mm. At them time there, you're looking at man like Sweetie Irie was big. You know what I mean? So we're used to Sweetie Irie, General Levy. Sweetie. Tipper Irie. Well, at them times, Tipper was more legendary status, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He'd had them banging hits, right?
Yeah.
General Levy's already been popping and, you know, incredible and all of that had already been going, and you had the Jungle Movement. Mm. So that kind of showed me that, it's not just dancehall rhythms. You can actually jump on all of these different kinds of rhythms, because there's a, you know, you grow up in an environment where it's called, you call it ride the rhythm, innit?
Yeah.
So whatever rhythm somebody flings down, you have to be on it.
Just got to be ready.
So you got to be ready, right? So whether it's hip hop, whether it's this, whether it's jungle and garage, remember, so garage started to pop up as well. So you're a kid, all of these different genres are running, and all you want to do is jump. Sorry, I sound excited, but I'm talking about it. All you want to do is jump on these rhythms, bro. And no matter what dance you're in, you just want to be on these rhythms. And then all of a sudden, so when you talk about changes and shifts, all of a sudden then, remember, the house scene has already been going on in the UK. It has been going on from the 80s and disco scene and all of that. So I'm coming from this environment of ride the rhythm, like I say. So now you're entering a dance where they're playing house music.
Mm.
And I'll never forget, I was in a house rave one time and I'm like, oh, there's nobody on the mic. I need to go on the mic. You know what I mean? Started running on house rhythms
when duty calls.
Now you just have to. You find these openings and these areas where you can be and do what you need to do, and it just kind of bubbled and developed and built from there, bro.
Yeah.
I hope that's kind of the what you're looking for.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
The trajectory.
The trajectory. Yeah, see, do you see the words? The lyricists do not mince words. I think the commercial world. Mm-hmm. Joe Public, I think a lot of us, myself included to a degree, took for granted how authentic jungle was. Like, it was always the attitude to rave was it was room two. It was second class to the hardcore.
Mm-hmm.
But we knew you knew where the energy lie. You knew where the breaks, where the samples were coming from, and the transition between MCs and chatters over to that genre. It was like an influx. All of a sudden, it's like you're rediscovering Navigator, Boomer, fucking General Levy, you know, the Sweeties of the world. And you're just like, whoa, it's like a newborn, like, for a youngster. It's like you're meeting General Levy for the first time.
Of course. And for me, it was like that. For me, I didn't, and predominantly, it was your London dancehall or ragga artist, right? So, like your Navi, like your, like all of them, man, your Demon Boys, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
You didn't necessarily, I even want to go as far as to say Congo Natty when he was Rebel MC and them time there.
Oh my, yes, 100%. Right?
So you're a kid and you're just hearing all of these, the only way I can explain it, it's like you're going home, but you've reached your yard, it all seems familiar, but there's just like a different fridge, a different like everything inside is just different because it's jungle and it's even more so because jungle would I would say was a little bit before me, before my real time of getting not necessarily influenced, but understanding because I weren't raving the age, I wasn't them kind of ages there, but I was certainly hearing it and kind of thinking raw. And then when it did another remix and came with the garage vibes, because remember them, it's the same old samples. It's the way all them tunes there came back on the garage, and that's when I was like, "Raw, this is deep. This whole UK sound is deep." And
it's true.
It just kept on moving for me.
Yeah. When you mentioned that not being quite old enough to go to the raves or at least go to them as you know frequently as you wanted to, also maybe demographically you were from a different area where you might, you know, London was popping, areas of Birmingham were here and there. But doesn't that make the mind wonder and make you want to do it even more? The fact that you haven't got there, you're thinking these things. You're thinking, what's it like in that place? Well, I want to be there,
bro. I so wish, and to this day. I will always joke with my older cousins and that and just say, I wish I was raving them times because I look at, and I'm sure you do as well, you look at that footage on YouTube and you see people in the jungle raves when jungle was popping and you go, yo, just to have been part of that environment. I chat to Ragga Twins. Imagine, these guys were our heroes.
Heroes, right? Ragga Twins, come on.
You chat to Ragga Twins. The other day, Congo was on the phone with me, you know what I mean? Your Sean B's, your navigators, them man they phone me up and they chat, you know what I mean? We chat and boomer. And you think, rah, like you man, when you man was shelling a 2,000 capacity, 5,000 capacity rave, and you man just get on the mic and just say one word and the whole place shell down. Yo, I just wish I could have been a fly on the wall to just see that man. Because I think like that's an unspoken era of UK music. You know what I mean? So now, your drillers are doing what they're doing and they're doing mad numbers, you know. Your UK hip hop, this version of UK hip hop now is doing mad numbers.
For sure.
And we know they're filling out the festivals and so on, but there's just that unspoken era where I just wish it was certainly shown more and displayed more. There's just more about it out there, man.
It's funny. I sometimes I switch over to Sky Arts and I see some like old concerts that are going on and stuff. And I see like younger versions of the people we know now. And had we had the technology to, like we do now, like readily available, I think we're spoiled for how much content we can, you know. It's almost like you grow with your artists now a lot more than you used to back then. But there was something... Tell me what you think about this as a theory. Well, actually, it's just me musing. The idea of, art is kind of misspent on the youth when you see, like, young people performing and going for it. I think we as audiences take for granted, though, because as people get older, it's like, it's not that you're not seeing the greatness, but, like, the energy of the youth, the energy of that time, the energy of the rave when it was in its inception. I'm with you. I'm like, yo, like, but you can never have those feelings back. As you grow up, you can't experience that same feeling, can you?
You'll never be 15 again going to a rave for the very first time in your life and just going into this big place and going... Just having all of those firsts. You'll never be that kind of age again. And I always say, even the youngers that I talk to now, I always say to them, enjoy as much as you can. Totally. Enjoy these years, man. And, you know, this ain't supposed to be a political broadcast or anything, man. And I know there's a lot of madness going on the streets nowadays, but try enjoy these times. Because you're going to sit back and look and go, you know what, rah. When man was 15 or when man was 18 and going out with a madness in the rave, man should have just been enjoying that.
Yeah, without quite... God, can you imagine? I mean, you've had a wealth of experience in this, you know, over your career span. And there's just moments that you can never... I sit back sometimes and I think, oh, yeah, look, you know, I'm not older, but I know enough to know enough. These things shift. These experiences make you.
Yeah.
And looking back and I'm like, oh, man, kind of glad I did that. There was a hesitancy, maybe one or two points, but hey, I did it. That was cool. Yeah. You must have loads of those experiences.
Yeah, definitely, man. I think one of the main ones for me, certainly with the experience of saying I'm glad I did, So I did a tune called Wheel and Stop with Basement Jacks.
Yeah, a whole type book. Yeah, Basement.
We got Basement Jacks. I'm in a feeling.
All day.
And obviously, we're talking now mid-noughties, probably 2010, 2012, them kind of times there. And maybe a little bit earlier than that.
Big tune, by the way, if you don't know about Wheel and Stop.
Thank you. And they kind of hit me up and said, yo, we're going to Korea and Japan. And I was just like, Korea and Japan don't sound like my wave, man. Because we're doing this festival called Fiji Rocks, right?
Huge, yeah.
I didn't know. And I'm there hesitating. Like, I don't know, man. Going to Japan and I don't know about this thing. Anyway, eventually I'm like, yeah, fuck it. Why not? You know? And I go. And we did Fiji Rocks, right? Headline. And it was the first time I've ever done a stage where you look out and you see people. And it's people and people and people over a hill. And it's just mad. And, bro, I did Wheel and Stop. And the whole crowd sang it back to me. And that was a moment where I thought...
Chills.
Yo, this is... Yeah, you know, obviously it's the deepness of Basement Jackson, how big they are as well. But it was just like those kind of moments where... You think, nah, I was hesitant. And then after that, I was just like, nah, I'm on it. Whichever festival it is, let's go. I'm not a festival guy.
Yeah.
I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a city guy.
Yeah.
Yeah? So when it's raining like how it is, and we know it's going to be muddy.
Dang me.
I'm not a fan of that.
No tent, man. No
tent. I'm not a fan of that. But, bro, sometimes those are the greatest experiences. I've done Glastonbury where the mud's down into, you know, to your kneecaps.
Yeah.
But, you know... I'm glad because now I can sit back and talk about it.
For sure.
You know? We did Glastonbury when it was like one of the hottest summers ever. I think that was like 2010.
We're up to you. Hold tight, Toddler.
We got Toddler. I think it was like 2010, 2012. One of those. Whichever one was a World Cup, Germany. Right? And it was just hot.
Oh, no, the one. Is it 2011 or something?
Was it one of those? I think so. One of those.
Yeah, okay.
World Cup, Germany. Anyway, hotter than hell. And... I think that was my first Glastonbury experience, right? So that's my first Glastonbury experience. I've never gone before. I've gone there. It's hottest summer at the wherever.
Yeah.
And loved it, right? So I went back the next year, right? When I say rain, bro. But still, it's one of those. Slept in my car. They wouldn't let me back in. You know, it was mad. But, you know, again, you just have to... The whole thing is, while you're young... Enjoy it.
Do it all.
Do it all. Do everything you can legally, of course. Enjoy the hell out of it. Because, you know, you sit back and even now, look at the last 18 months with COVID. Most of us been in our yards, right?
Makes you appreciate life.
Appreciate life, man.
Let's stay on the Basement Jacks because around the same time, I think I did the tune Oh My Gosh with them.
Yeah.
Right, so with Vula, hold tight, Vula.
We got Vula, man.
Talk to me about your experience in the studio with Basement Jacks, because everyone has, it's almost like, it's like a Prince mythology of like how they encouraged and fed out your creative energy, because, you know, these guys, they're like scientists, aren't they?
They are scientists, man, It was, I think with my experience with them, because they'd sent me the rhythm, and said, oh, do you want to jump on this with him, right? It may be something, it may be nothing, right? One of those ones. But we was all vibing together in a way, and they were doing a few things in... where was that spot called in Brixton? That was the old church.
The Mass,
yeah. Felix used to play in the Mass occasionally, and we started chatting and boom, bang. Anyway, here's a rhythm, do what you want. Did what I was feeling on the rhythm, and they came back and they were like, yo, kind of like this. This was after me and MJ Cole did a tune called Oh Nah... Ayo, we call that tune. Tough. And that was playlisted all over the place. So anyway, did what I did on the rhythm. Then they called me back and said, you know what, this could be a vibe. Let's try a few things. So we go in the studio and it's like, okay, try it this style, try it this way, try it this way. And we tried like everything and kind of eventually went back to the original. But it was all a case of, it was one of the first times as well, definitely, that I got that whole vibe of try everything. And even if you go back to the original, and that's the one that works, at least you've tried everything to see, you know, that level of perfection.
You've maxed out.
Of course, you've maxed out. Right. Yeah. That was really my experience with them. You know, pretty good. I think it was Felix or maybe Simon that said to me, right, why would a Jamaican buy your music?
I was like, bro, because I'm sick.
Yeah. Oh, he really threw it out there.
Nah, but you know what? It made me think.
Yeah.
You know, and I like that. I like that level of honesty. I like that whole vibe. And just being on the road with them was such a vibe, man.
Yeah. They're on a... Felix is like, and I love Felix the bits for this, because you go away learning a little bit more about yourself.
Yeah.
You're just like, yo, like he's up against the window, like blowing, you know, mouth is against the window, like going, yo, come on, get more. Really exercising your
creativity. Yeah,
for sure.
Yeah.
What's your uncle think of all this? Because, like, bearing in mind, you know, from the source, you know, he was already prolific with working alongside some of the biggest in reggae.
Yeah, so for my uncle, it was really interesting because I remember giving my uncle a CD. Wow, we're going back now, isn't it? CDs. Wow. And my uncle said, yeah, I'll check it. This was when he came over on tour with Shaggy, right? So big, it was NEC Arena, big Wembley, whatever. And I gave him a CD, sorry. And I was like, yo, uncle, check it out, man. Give me some advice. And he checked it out and passed it on to Shaggy, and everybody was sitting down there, kind of like. And he was proud, but at the same time, because they weren't living in the UK, there wasn't an understanding and an appreciation for good music, but an understanding of a scene that was so versatile as the UK was, which is you're not a bashment artist, you're not a dancehall artist, you're an artist, right? So you can go on anything. There wasn't that connection yet. Now later on, people like Sean Paul, etc., jumped on all the different rhythms, and now and even Shaggy himself, now it kind of makes sense and it gels because everything is coming together. But as you will know yourself, if we're talking mid-noughties, it was just so segregated, wasn't it? It was like, you're the beatbox guy.
Yeah.
You can't do anything other than hip-hop.
Yeah.
And if you try to, we're going to try and push you back into that box as quickly as possible.
Totally.
So you have to kind of push yourself and say, okay, well... And it's almost like each time you got to reinvent yourself. But you're just doing the same thing in a different way,
I'll go as far as say you've got to shed your skin, because a lot of people, even if you do manage to get... Back in the 90s, of course, if you were to get yourself... An early noughties to a degree, you get yourself out of that kind of corner that they put you in, they don't like it neither.
No.
They don't like that. You managed to diversify. Where did that come? Like, how? Because the reason why I asked about your uncle was because of you mentioned that Simon said why would black audiences like your reggae?
Mm.
And I'm like, well, but you come from like the most solid of heritages, you know. Mm. And when you see the way that reggae has it's gone through such a journey up to now. Wow, like, you know, Afrobeat and everything is just. We'll get into the collaborations with you and Roscoe in a minute.
Yeah.
But they must, it must be running so fast for them. They must be thinking, what is this now? Like, what is this? And where does the DNA fault lines go in?
Absolutely. I think there's definitely that purist kind of mentality with it all. And even when you go back to the Jaxes and so on and move it backwards, there were just those steps, right? This was reggae, this was ragga, this was such and such, this is house, da da da, right? This is jungle and so on. And where I think I got a step to, like, you look at the work with me and Toddler, to a certain extent, we kind of just felt this is one music, you know, and it blends together. And we always saw this whole picture of everything meshing together and started trying to create that. Because I didn't want to be a dancehall artist. There's enough dancehall artists out there.
Yeah.
And plus, as we mentioned before, we got the Birmingham thing where you got like a bit of hip-hop in you, you got a bit of dancehall in you, you got a little bit of everything in you. So why not make a sound that kind of encapsulates that? And, you know, if you go forward now and you look at Westerns, you know, or a Mist, and all of these guys are doing, they're doing what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying we created their style, because obviously they've done their own thing in their own way. But it's what we started to kind of... We started getting the potato masher and trying to mash it all together and make one sound, because that's the one sound that we saw as UK music.
Yeah.
You know? We weren't trying to be anything else from anywhere else. We weren't trying to recreate different sounds. We were just trying to create this one uniform sound that was just represents everything in the UK to us.
It's actually bonkers when you... Just as you were explaining it there, my mind went off and I go, wow. There's plenty of... I mean, flowers where flowers due. Because that mashing up of, it's so fresh and new. It's at the time, it's like, why hasn't this been done before? We're doing it. Come on. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's a given now, and it's kind of crazy that we go along with it as if it was a given because it was always the idea that they were, you had in mind.
Yeah.
It's mad. Everything's timeless. That's
of course. 100% everything's timeless, man. And I'm so happy to see it now. I'm so happy to see everything working together and so happy to listen to stuff now and hear garage influences and go, oh, okay, yeah, I can trace that back. I can see where the Zed biases were involved in this and it may not have necessarily been involved in this particular tune right now where it is, but yeah. I can see the tree, you know.
Yeah.
I really came up in the, where it really started to pop for me was in the dubstep era. Right, so dubstep started to happen. You had your Screams, you had your Bangers, and all of these guys, and it was on these rhythms that were just so bass heavy. And all I wanted to do was jump on those kind of rhythms. And again, it was just so uniquely UK, even though we call it dubstep, even though you could feel the reggae in it, it was just so UK, bro. And I think the lineage, the lining, and like you said, the faults, the everything, the history is so rich that now when you look at it, it's, I can't help but feel proud of the scene, bro.
Oh, bro, I was just going to say, every time, see, you listen to some like old Rinse Grime tape packs or you go down that dubstep route. Sometimes, and I'm not sure if it's nostalgia entirely, but sometimes when a tune comes on, I just get so fucking proud. I'm like, I forgot about that sound. I forgot about the Iski icy sound. I forget about that snare that you always used to. I'm proud of it. It's not even mine. I'm proud of it.
No, you have to be. I was chatting to a friend of mine the other day, and she was going to uni at the time. Like grime was really popping, and so she was studying something like bioscience or something. So she probably didn't have much time to be focusing on the grime scene. You know what I mean? To be real. And so she missed out on a lot of the greats. So your Kanos and so on. Yeah, heard P's and Q's maybe, but didn't hear the other stuff. And she's kind of retracing now and going and kind of hitting me up and saying, "Raw, this song's sick, that song's sick, da 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 da." And I'm like, yeah, because these artists were so dope in their time. And of course, you know, Getz and etc. They still got their moment, but now they're legendary status, right?
Yeah.
Now they're at status where, and again, sorry, I'm banging on, but when we talk about pride, we talk about looking at the scene, we talk about seeing man like Getz fill out a stadium, you know, and then you look at Stormzy. You know what I mean? And you're just like, oh, okay, look at the levels of how these things have moved.
The family tree of it all as well. It's like, it moves like it moves like water, and like you, that's what's crazy. It's like, okay, there's a poster boy for every scene and every season.
Mm-hmm.
But when you really break down the timeline and what certain thing, it's back to the potato masher. It's back to the original concept.
Yeah, the original. One of the things that make me so proud, again, oh man, we're talking so much pride.
Yeah.
Is when you look at the one extra, you must have seen the one extra freestyle, and it had Jamie, I think Skeppy was in it, and you had General Levy.
Yeah.
That just
blew my mind.
Like, brother, when you see all of them together and just saying, yo, Levy, you're the general.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And just him doing this and everybody's just on it. And you're like,
man,
look at that.
Get goosebumps thinking about it.
Yeah.
It just says, it shows fault lines. It shows respect. It shows camaraderie within a...
Yeah.
And, you know, both you and me, we've never bucked like that on a live or nothing. But we know.
Of course.
It's the eye of... You know,
aware, definitely aware, man. It's a beautiful thing, bro, to be honest with you. Definitely a beautiful thing. I think as far as the scene is concerned, as far as the potato masher and putting everything together, I'm just kind of sitting back and looking and seeing, and I'm happy, and even with yourself as well, I'm happy to have been a piece of the puzzle. You know what I mean? Yeah. And I'm sure you are as well.
Contributive,
you contributed to what we have today. And yeah, man, I love it. And I hear a lot of elders talking about, oh, man, it's not the same as it. It's never gone. It's not supposed to be.
No, it's not.
You know what I mean?
If it don't make sense, it wasn't made for you.
Nah.
In the words of Company Flow, it wasn't made for you.
But, you know, it's the beauty of what we have today, man. It's just like, if you can appreciate it, I don't like every single new song that I hear. Of course not. But like you said, some of it wasn't made for me. You know what I mean? And that's okay. That's okay as well. But for the most part, I can appreciate the musicality and the creativity of it all, and that's where we are.
One Island. One Island. Why do you think it is that... Why do you think it is that the industry is... actually, no, the industry isn't actually that embracing, but why do you think the scene of the UK is so powerful? It's like a developing pad for new ideas, and sometimes the exporting of American genres go like drill, for instance, or hip hop itself, punk go into the machine, and all of a sudden we're like, hold on, I'll fix this one, and we re-export it back out there as like a new engine. Machine.
I don't know the exact answer, but I think a huge portion of this comes from the amount of influences that we have over here and the fact that we're so accepting to the influences, right? So, you know, if you look at a Mist, just to use Mist as an example, you can tell that he's watched more than one Bollywood movie, bro. You can tell that he's been to school and he's had a mesh of cultures.
Definitely.
Because of the references that he puts across, right? So there's that. Then you got the Afrobeat influences and so on. And so it moves all the way down the line, right? So when we get something that's American, whereas in America, and I'm sure the Americans will accept this, it is quite like, that's your thing, you do your thing over there. That's not quite hip-hop, right? Okay, that's mumble rap, that's not hip-hop. That's, you know what I mean? And there's that separation.
Whereas here,
we're like, we'll take that, have that. Okay, we like that as well. Yeah. And any one person on their playlist right now, on anybody's Spotify or Tidal or Apple Music playlist, they have got at least 5 to 6 different genres of music. Yeah. I can almost guarantee that anybody in the UK.
For every different occasion. From gym exercises to work-related motivations.
Absolutely. And that's the mad thing, isn't it? You go to the work party. All right, yeah. Just put, you like that hip-hop stuff? No, I got something for you. Hold that. You know what I mean? It's like everybody's into different kinds of music, man. And I think that's the beauty. And so, because with that being in mind, if I sit down, definitely you as a producer, sit down there with your creative hat on, you're going to draw upon those influences.
Draw on it.
And then you whatever you give back out.
Yeah.
Of course.
What do you look for in, because, you know, you've worked with so many people, particularly producers, like, what do you look for in the beat? What's the thing? What's the driving force behind your lyric? What's the thing that draws the demon out of Seriously? What's the one?
Bassline, man. I think if it's got bassline, that a really sick bassline and a beat that gives me enough space, then all day long.
Mm.
All day long, that's me. But it's definitely got to be that bassline. When I'm always waiting for that bass to kick in. And yeah, Raska can tell you. But you know what I mean? You have that intro, the intro beat. And I'm like, oh, bro, I'm waiting for those 8 bars to go so I can hear that bass drop. When that bass drops, from that, I'm in.
It's that sound system influencer.
I think so, bro. I think so. It's always the case, though, isn't it? Because, you know, it's a marriage. Yeah. It's a marriage, man.
I'd argue Raska's beats. Oh, man, there's so many layers to his beats because I'm such a fan. I love the fact that sometimes it's the things you don't hear that actually there is space to his music. Sometimes it's just drums, but then when you put the headphones on, it's like there's an 808 going, and you're just like, oh shit, he's really thinking of the club. He's gonna fuck some people up.
Yeah. No, that's the thing with Raska. Raska sent me an instrumental, and I listened to it and I had a lot of madness, not madness going on, but just had beat commitments, you know what I mean? So I'd kind of listened to it and I was like, yeah, this is sick, Raska, but I'm going to get back to you. And I think about a month or so, I'd gone and he messaged me again. He's like, yo, Cero, you like Raska? Yo, Cero, you on this or what? I'm like, yeah, cool. Then went back to it and I listened to it. Imagine, I listened to it the second time I listened to it. I heard something completely different to what I heard the first time. Dropped everything. Said, nah, it has to be done right now. And that song went on to be our first release together.
See, he does that.
Yeah.
He does that. Right. Okay. What was it? What was the difference this time from that time? Was it just a mindset thing?
It could have been a mindset thing. And I did listen to it on a different system as well. And the bass just kicked my neck back in, man. I was like, rah, I did not hear that the first time. But it was also a mindset because I had so much on the first time round. Mm. You know what I mean? So yeah. So there you go.
Roscoe don't make beats for your speaker on your phone. He makes stuff for sound system.
Yeah. He doesn't. It's. I got a question for you, bro. Actually, speaking of that,
go for it.
The kids nowadays, they listen to everything through their phone, right? Yeah. On loudspeaker on their phone. Do you think something's lost in that? Or do you think nowadays music is made specifically? So if I'm an 18-year-old kid producer, I'm making it because I'm thinking you're listening to that through your phone.
I think they do. I honestly think they do. I think there's a lot more lack of attention to detail for that reason. Because, you know, with all the sample packs being the way they are, I'm presuming, like, just chuck, tweak. It's kind of, it's by numbers a little bit more.
Mm.
And if they're listening on their phone, I mean, I'm starting to think to myself, well, there's a generation right now that have missed a year and a half plus of any club life.
Yeah.
So that's a generation that are going to have to reverse engineer ever going into a club.
Yeah.
So
yeah, because you're right. Because that being 18 and being allowed to go into a club legally, you haven't had that. If you're a kid that's just finished uni, or
some of them are 20 now.
Yeah.
They missed 2 years
of being at a club festival to work. So it's a bit mad. You're right. You're going to have to reverse engineer that whole experience.
Yeah.
And then probably listening to music with proper bass and going, the fuck is this?
They're going to be there just like they would have dumped on the fucking floor thinking the bass on the brown notes is real.
Mad. But yeah, man. So as far as, you know, going back to Rasca, we kind of came out and we done some bits and then it became a, let's do an EP.
Mm.
You know what I mean? And I was like, yeah, cool. Let's just crack on. And we kind of put that together in pretty much no time at all. And as you know, when the chemistry's right, things just fall together. Really, it's not like work. It's just bang, 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 bang. And we're so seasoned in what we do now that it's just a simple one treat. You know what I mean?
He speaks very highly of you. And he's one of those kind of characters that he don't really fuck with people that ain't on the same in the same circle on the same wave.
Yeah.
He's that energy. And that holds true with you as well. You know, and I'm finding even in this conversation, it's actually you got a level of commitment that you want to you on observation. Mm-hmm. You got laser focus on what you and you know what you like and you know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You have a lane and you like to steer within that lane.
Mm. I have a, you see, I agree with you about having a lane. I think more importantly, though, it's not a lane that is dictated to by the genre of music. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's also if your thing's popping, you know, for instance, like Ruska does funky, right? We know Ruska to do funky. Yeah. However, the EP, our Straight Rum EP, I wouldn't necessarily say it was a funky EP.
Mm.
It was an EP with somebody, of two people that connected creatively.
Mm.
And he did what he does best.
Mm.
I did what I do best. And we created this kind of slightly genre bending because you go all the way down to 105 on some of those tunes and all the way back up to 125, 130. You know what I mean? So it's kind of creative. You know, we just need to be, I need to work with somebody that's on that wavelength that, you know, sometimes when you hear people, sometimes producers hit me up and go, I got a rhythm perfect for you. And I'm always a bit like, okay.
Are you sure?
Okay. And, you know, and usually I'd go back and we'd probably listen to 3 or 4 and they'd be like, I wouldn't have chosen that one for you. I'm like, but that's the one that I can tell. What were you thinking when you built that rhythm? You know what I mean? Oh, it's just this and that. And you're like, yeah, man, that one there's firing. So a lot of times it's literally what grabs me, but allows me to be me.
It's interesting because when you drop anything on a track, distinctively it's your voice. It's the John Coltrane Hornet. You know, it's that. You know, it's that kind of level. You know what I mean? But you can hear. Mm-hmm. You know. Mm. And that lane, it's unmovable. So when you're in those situations where a producer, because there are some songs that by default you would kill.
Yeah, of course.
But there is the mood and the reasons and it's sometimes certain songs just hit you and just like, nah, man, you know what? This one here totally fits. It's your mood, it's the vibe, it's everything, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. That's why, you know, even just to go back again to the Rasca EP, like when I did In My Zone, you know what I mean? It was just like, that was it. I was in my, like, you know, spiritually as well, from a spiritual level, when you're creating music, you're just in that, you're in that arena, you're in that zone. And that's where In My Zone came about. And then I was literally going to Trinidad a few days later. I mean, doing the video out there, you know what I mean? Because it's just like, zone, you know what I mean? Yeah. So that's just the perfectness from that. And that's what
so
I look for.
You were going on holiday and then...
Yeah. So as far as going to Trinidad, we do boat parties at Trinidad Carnival. Right. Well, we do boat parties all around the world, to be honest. With rum and bass, my other thing.
Come on.
So we do Notting Hill boat parties, Trinidad, Kingston, Jamaica, etc., etc., etc.
The DNA is super fucking real on the podcast, all right? We'll fuck around.
Exactly. But anyway, so we kind of, I was, so voiced it for Raska. He liked it. Said to him, look, going to Trinidad to go do our annual party. I'm gonna do a video too. He's like, yeah, of course. I'm like, bam, 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 bam. Done the video, give it back to us. And everything's organic, right?
That's sick.
It just works.
That's sick. See, if he was on a normal holiday, my missus would have been screwing. She's like, we'll be coming all this way, just to do your fucking music video, mate. Is that what we're doing? She'd be on me.
It was business work though, bruh.
Hey, listen, it's the charm of the MC, the host, the hype man, you know what I mean? He finessed his way out of any situation like that.
We did it, man. We did it. But nah, you know, it's just, everything just has to be kind of organic as well. Because when things feel forced, bro, it's like, it's long. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes you got to, you know, you can push a circle through a square hole, but sometimes you've just got to, you know when you're doing the right thing. Because it's moving with you. You're working.
Of course.
It's like, it's natural, isn't it? It feels natural progression.
I completely agree. I mean, and that's where most of my lasting kind of musical relationships have come from. Like, me and T... we go back 20 years now.
20 years?
Yeah. I mean, give or take one or two, but it's not, you know what I mean? And that started with the fact that I used to go up to Sheffield quite a bit. Me and him, we were in a group together, right? Small Arms Fire. So it was four of us, two producers, two MCs. And...
mad.
There's singles out there. There's Small Arms Fire singles and 12s out there that you can get your hands on. Very first, Toddler T Productions.
Toddler, come on, man. I need to check this shit. Always sending you links, Toddler. Come on, give me some links my way. Come on.
Here you go. And then we kind of, Toddler and I kind of kicked off and we were the youngest ones in the group as well. And we kind of developed this link of wanting to make that mashup, like we spoke about.
Wanting
to create that kind of, and we just had this vision of, right, okay, if we can try and recreate this stuff. So we'd sit down. I'm laughing because I'm thinking about it. So I'd get all of these old school dancehall VHSs in, right?
Yeah.
And you know like how a boxer watches old tapes of other boxers?
Yeah.
Like maybe a Dempsey or whatever. We were watching old school Supercat, Ninja Man, etc. Together, we're sitting down. Okay, right, look at when he does that.
What an
that,
amazing idea.
Buja Banton, da-da-da-da-da. We're just watching all these old videos, right?
Training.
All right, cool. We're gonna build. And we'd go to the studio and we'd try this and we'd try that. Some doesn't work, some does work, da 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 da. And start creating this sound.
Mad.
You know? And eventually we move on. And obviously we get to the point where we are now, where Toddler's a multi-platinum producer.
Yeah, hey look, come on.
And you know, it was, again, like you say, you sit down and you look at those times there, all of that training. I'm sure you spent hours and hours and hours just beatboxing, just getting shit together, making sure things sounded right. And how to project this when you're in, you know what I mean? How to project this particular song that we're doing and recreate this madness that we've got in the studio now out to when we're doing Reading Festival. You know, when we're in Manchester in front of 50,000 people and we're doing this particular festival, how are we going to do snowbombing? You know, how is this going to translate to your ordinary Radio 1 listener? This is before we was on Radio 1. Your ordinary regular Radio 1 listener that ain't really checking for bashment. Because remember, in them days, we're still not where we are now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where your average, anybody in the UK can probably name five dancers.
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was like that with beatboxing as well. Like, you know, getting a cab. You don't know. The cabbie don't know what beatboxing is. If you explain like you're reinventing the wheel. I'm sure it was pretty much the same back then. Yeah.
It's that. So how do you get to translate that to this, your regular, ordinary 9-to-5 Joe Blow that's gone out for the weekend or gone out for the week to flipping have a few lagers and enjoy themselves? And we figured out a way, bro. You know what I mean? We just figured out a way to make it happen. And It's just so great, man. Yeah. And I don't even know why I started telling you. You see what you're doing? You see what you're doing, man? I don't even know why we got there, but, you know, it is just one of those things, man. Oh, yeah, I was talking about the chemistry. The chemistry has to be right with the people. And so the people I've got the longer working relationships with, you kind of will see. So a man like a Rusker, a man like a Toddler that I've worked, you know, these guys are the people that I've worked with for the longest, you know. You see that a lot.
The reason why, though, and just reiterating some of what you just said there, because that's super interesting. Like, sometimes when you start a project, it's almost not so much a mission brief, but if you know you've got like a reason why, that just changes that. It's almost like we need to make this. Mm-hmm. It's not a case of, yeah, let's do it and shoot the shit, see what happens. No, you've got a reason.
There's
it's almost like it borders, this is for the culture,
for the culture,
future culture.
Yeah. And there is always, I think that's probably the why, and like you said, and that's probably the reason, and that's how we kind of get to where we are, where it's like, you don't know at that precise moment in time, oh, we're doing this for the future culture. You just know at that precise moment in time, there's that overarching, we must do this.
Mm.
It's necessary to do this. Wherever that leads in the future is wherever it leads, but right now, in this moment in time, in this particular cycle, we need to do this. Mm. And that's always where, you know, it's gone for me. Mm. Even when we did, when I ended up on Black Butter, we did one of the first singles on Black Butter.
Ooh, hold tight, Black Butter, yeah.
I did it with Navigator, me, Navigator, Illaman.
Hold tight, Illaman. Your mind must have been blown on that one. That's a big lineup right there.
Bro, Illaman, such a sick MC.
Toon Crew.
Aye.
That actually was your, that was quite a defining time as well, wasn't it?
Yeah. Toon Crew era.
Mm.
Bro, like, and that's what I mean when I talk about Black Butter and the amount of, you know, crews that they've had come off on Black Butter now. And Black Butter is like one of the biggest labels, independent labels.
It's up there,
In the UK. But when you think about it, it's like, I always just think, like, I just remember Henry, head of Black Butter. I think he's still head of Black Butter.
Right.
I just remember him being there, and it's me, Illaman, and Navi, and we all dressed up for this particular video, right? I was the mad professor, Navigator was a navigator, the pilot, Illaman was a pirate, and we're in this, and it's just like, that again was that era. It's like that we're going into the gold, I would call it the golden era of our time now, where it was like maybe 09 to maybe 15.
Oh man.
09 to 2015 was that, like, that whole era of they used to call it, what did they call it? 120 jungle. Don't know if you ever heard that term.
No.
They were calling that 120 jungle because they kind of slowed it down, but the vibe was all there, you know what I mean? And then, of course, it got this term bass music, right? Mm-hmm. You remember everybody was calling it bass music? Yeah. But that was the era.
Heartbroken.
Them times there, bro.
Come on.
Flipping yo-yo on a Thursday night.
Oh!
Them. Big up Leo Greenslade.
Hold tight, Seb. Come on.
Hang tight, Seb. Seb, man. Yo, that's what I'm saying. It's like, Seb Tube, big up yourself.
Yeah.
It's like that era as well, bro. Man, we ain't even spoke about that.
No, this is the first time it's even been brought up on podcast, bro.
Jeez.
And I'm going to go online and find all the bits to throw into the edit while we're talking about it, because I tell you, like, that's going to be lovely. I love that era. Mm-hmm. I love that era. Very West. But I think some of the guys live around here, actually, to be fair.
I think Rudimental, Rudimental are East, like me, kind of. Then you had, Matt's going to kill me. What is their official name now? Because they went on to be a house crew. I'm not even going to talk no more. Mm. But big up Matt. Matt, you know who you are. Black Butter definitely did a lot for bringing that scene in.
Really pulled it through, huh?
Really did, man. Really did. And again, just a scene that, again, I'm happy to just be a little cog in the wheel, man.
I can't say, though. Seriously, You gotta be cool to be cool, bro. Like, you
gotta be cool to be cool. I love that shit, bro.
You flip, and you're able to morph within these things, in these scenes and genres and people and collaborations and stuff. That seems like water for ducks back to you, but it ain't easy for some people. Like, what's the fucking secret, man?
There's no secret. The only secret I can ever come up with, bro, is just enjoying music and working with people that enjoy your music. And I say this to people a lot, yeah, and even people that I work with now. I tell them that I'm fans of theirs. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not a gas up somebody thing. It's just generally, you have to be a fan of the people that you're working with.
I agree with you, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, or else it just don't, it's not, it doesn't feel natural. It don't feel right, man. I'm bro, we just mentioned Nafi, Illiman, sorry. You know, bro, there's some people probably watching this podcast that don't know who they are.
Yeah.
And that's no disrespect to the artist, man. It's no disrespect to the people that don't know who they are. Please try find out, though. YouTube's a good thing.
Yeah, man, for sure.
But I'm a fan. You know what I mean? I'm a fan. To the point where a man like David Boomer gets on the phone and says to me, yo, I'm David Boomer. You may not... Bro, I know who you are.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
As soon as you spoke?
I know who you are. You know what I mean? Like, Shawnee T. Like, I remember being a kid listening to Black Twang albums.
Ugh.
And hearing Shawnee T on them. So imagine when I meet this brother, Shawnee T. Yo, Shawnee, what are you going? Yeah. You see me perform and he comes over. Yo, you sick, you know, you all right? No, I'm just in awe.
Yeah, hope that Dub Pistols as well.
Oh, my gosh. Big up Dub Pistols.
All day.
And that probably for me, as Shawnee T, was probably one of the greatest moments in my whole career, bro. When a man like Shawnee comes over and says, yo, you're sick. And you're a youth. And you're like, oh, okay, damn. And then you get a phone call. Yo, you want to jump on a tune?
No.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Shawnee, man. Big up. Legend, Shawnee needs to come on a podcast. We have been trying to arrange it, man. He's just, you know, and that, right, that Black Twang album, the first Black Twang, it was Detwork Southeast, wasn't it? That
was first one was Detwork Southeast. Uh-huh. I got introduced to Twang. Now, remember, I'm outside of London, so I'm going to use that as an excuse. When it came to 19 Long Time, right?
That tune.
Uh-huh.
Oi.
So, that album.
Game changer.
Game changer. And then after that, you went on to Why Is It So Rotten? Yeah, yeah.
That
might have been on the same album.
No, it was on the same album. It was on different. Because Banksy done that, the second album cover.
Yeah.
Should have.
What?
Yeah.
Oh, Banksy my done the gosh.
Banksy done the second album cover of Black Tongue. Put it up now, Kels. Put it up now. See that shit. Bro, he was like the UK's and ours when that first album came out.
Yeah, of course. Oh, mate.
Made me want to listen to it now, actually.
Yo, you know why I just looked away like, rah.
You need to put that on.
Shit. Because all them time there now, you're looking at Twanga, you're looking at Estelle.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? These are the people that are popping now. Yeah. Maneuver. Oh, shit.
Oh, no, he said it.
I got a tune where I'm free. Me and Roots Maneuver back to back, bro.
What?
Imagine, I'm, hey, right, yo, fam, like, me and, hey, me,
what?
I'm going to tell them.
Where did this come, hold on, where did this come from? This is some fucking madness.
We're talking, right? Remember, these guys are legends, right?
Yeah.
So, even now I'm talking, you can see on my face, these guys are legends, right? So, me and T, we get our first tour. And the first tour was support act for Roots Maneuver. Right? They don't give a... I'm not saying Roots Maneuver and them don't give a fuck because they know who we are, but, you know, we're not...
Toddler's a super Roots Maneuver fan. As
right,
well,
of course. I don't think he'd produce Slime and Reason yet, but he may have. So I may get my timeline slightly wrong. However, we get shows in, I think, I want to say Nottingham, Scotland and a couple of other places, right? Cool. Me and Toddler end up in Scotland. Roots Maneuver will always be a legend.
Mm.
And he's backstage. So me and T are just playing a couple of rhythms and just vibes. And what, Ricky Rankin walks in. I'm like, fucking Ricky Rankin. Oh, shit.
Yeah, right, yeah.
Then Roots Maneuver.
Banana Clan in now.
Oh, shit. We got Gordon and all them, man. And then we're backstage, right? So Roots, and I think it's on YouTube somewhere. So Roots is like, what's that? What are you playing there, bro? So playing a couple of rhythms. Like, yeah, let me jump. Let me take a piece.
Oh, stuff it.
So he jumps on. And I'm like, Roots is spinning on our rhythm tee. So me and Roots start going back and forth, freestyling, running joke, back and forth, and Ricky Rankin and all of it. So then after that now, comes another tune that T produced now. So I think this is after Slime and Reason. T's produced this rhythm. Roots has jumped on it. My name comes up in the conversation. Me, Roots Maneuver, on a Toddler T production.
What?
Mad. Madness, bro. Like... Them are the things that you will, you know, when I'm 80, I'm going to sit down and go, I'm on a team with Roots Maneuver.
Yeah, it's one of them ones.
You know what I mean?
It's like a big bucket list. That's like,
of course,
in fact, it's not even in, it's not even the bucket. That's just like wide field. That's like, that's the baseball list. That's the big catch.
That 100%. So when we talk about these UK legends, you know, I'm on tunes with Black Twang, with Shani T, Roots Maneuver, Ty.
Rest in peace, Ty.
R.I.P. Ty. Just so many of these legends. Navigator, David Boomer, you know.
UK Apache, we haven't big up UK Apache yet, neither.
Big up UK Apache.
Yeah.
You know, I've worked with a lot of these people, and I'm so happy that, you know, I just say don't meet your heroes.
Mm.
I'm so happy I don't have none of those stories for the UK guys. You know, freestyle with General Levy on stage. I think I'm on a tune with General Levy.
He's the best person to freestyle with, bro.
Yo.
He'll just like, he's smiling all the way.
He is, yo. we did a show, well, Heatwave put together a show, I want to say probably about 10 years ago. I want to say it was about 10 years ago. They put together a dancehall show because they were trying to recreate, you know, Sting days or whatever. It wasn't Clash Sting or anything like that.
Okay.
But, excuse me, there was on that Lady Shan, big up Stush. Lady Leisha. Wiley came through. Mr. Williams. Like, there was so many.
Old time Mr. Williams.
Old time Mr. Williams. There's so many artists that came through and featured on that particular. Ruby Dan, big up Ruby Dan. That featured on that particular show, Showtime it was called,
uh-huh.
That particular show, and you can get the DVD as well. Bro, yeah, man, you're just making me go back in the, you're just making me think about all of these legendary things that have happened, you know, that
waka,
I'm thankful
waka,
for.
Waka, waka. Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's a beautiful thing, man. And the scene is still small enough for that to happen.
Mm.
You know, you may live in New York and never meet Jay-Z. Right, but I think
actually that's a really good analogy.
Yeah,
but you've met the equivocal in the UK.
I think so.
That's mad.
I think so, man. And I'm so, again, I just can't stop saying how happy I am and how humbled I am to have met these people and like to have grown up on their music, meet them and impress them so much for them to say, "Yo, jump on a tune." Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's bonkers.
It's bonkers for me, man. But love it.
And just be great at your craft. Your skill sets, versatility. Talk to me about the rhyming patterns of it all. Talk to me about the MC ability. Talk about what you focus on as a skill set.
What I thought is fitting in the pocket. Yeah. You know what I mean? Again, just to kind of hark back to what I was saying before, growing up and certainly being a teenager and seeing like people shell the place like Dreddy, you know what I mean? That were just so great at this whole ability to just hold the crowd and just do their thing. You know what I mean? Even seeing the elders and all of them older, but you know, the Shabbers and so on, and just seeing the ability to keep a crowd's attention. And one of my favorite artists of all time, is a man called Papa San.
Right?
And the reason why he's one of my favorites is because he's the type of guy that will be able to say, stop the music, no rhythm, no nothing, and literally spit a 10-minute a cappella at the crowd and get a forward the whole way through. Just be like, da-da-da-da-da, crowd goes mad, da-da-da-da-da, crowd goes mad. And it was always the way how he did it, his diction, his whole, the flows that he always used. So for me, it was always like, okay, I want to be like that.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Shabba had this big, heavy voice. You know what I mean? That kind of, he was lyrical as well, and he had his flows as well, but he had this big, heavy voice. When he walks into a room, man, the whole place just tear down,
that,
right?
That still scares the shit out of me too, though, bro. Like, he comes, okay, we're listening.
You see what I'm saying? Bontekilla got a big old, heavy voice, right? And that just parts the room anyway. Mm. And they managed to, you know, there's a rhythm, and they managed to slice through the rhythm with them voices, right? And I always wanted to just make a path and just flow with the rhythm and become an instrument as well.
Mm.
And so when it comes to writing, I always try and find that pocket and fit myself in between and become an instrument with that rhythm.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Whatever's going on in the rhythm, make myself stand beside it sometimes, stand in front of it sometimes, pull back, and just just keep it there, maintain that attention. Make people say, the fuck did he just say? Redman is another one of my favorite MCs of all time. You know what I mean? And he had a bar that said, I can't remember the bar exactly, but he's got, I write bars to make people stop and say, what the fuck did he just, you know what I mean? And that's just all I wanted to do, make people go, rah, did that man just, nah, let me check that.
But Ragga's the roots though, and when you talk about those names, I mean, yeah, there's a bravado on stage as well as a presence. It's like, it's amazing what you can do with, you know, your syllables and your consonants and your vowels when you target them at the right. There's a real comedic value to the delivery on certain things.
Absolutely.
You've got to be able to stand. You're on your ones most of the time. I mean, that's as much part of the craft, right?
Absolutely. I think, and again, you remember who was saying about, I was talking about going back and looking at old school VHSs and so on and understanding the legacy that has come before me. Another artist that I need to mention because I cannot forget him is Professor Nuts. That's another guy where when we're talking about intonation in the voice and really being able to tell a story and really you're up there on your ones. And it's almost, when you're an MC, you have to have comedian timing. I don't know if...
You
know
what I mean? That
kind of is what makes sense, right? So like a comedian, and I remember once somebody explaining to me about comedic timing, right? And they were saying, it's not the fact that a comedian tells you a joke that was so intelligent that you didn't get it and they were teaching you something. It's the fact that the comedian's timing is so that you get it at the same time that they're saying it, right? So whenever the punchline drops, it's almost that moment where it's coming, you know it's coming, and you go, blah, 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 and you get it at the same time as they tell it. That's what makes that timing. So for instance, if Jay-Z might, if somebody like a Redman might say, I do something hard to find like weed in the carpet, you go, oh shit. And when he says it, you get it. You know what I mean? And that's the whole thing. So that's what makes Jay-Z, even though Jay-Z talks about how he simplified his lyrics, don't necessarily simplify his lyrics. He just, his delivery is so on point that it drops the same time your brain's working, that you kind of relate to him. You know what I mean? It's just me probably getting a bit too scientific, but I wanted to be a bit like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I wanted to have that timing. I wanted to have that kind of pattern, that way we sit down on a rhythm and kind of step up and do, you know what I mean? Another guy another artist I used to love was like a Ludacris. Again, timing. You know what I mean? It's all about that timing with the drops of the punchlines and so on. So that's what I kind of.
You just blow my mind on the comedy analogy there. That just blow my mind. Nicki Minaj is another person I feel like. Don't get, like, because of whatever, she's up in the starships now, but she's certainly like, all right, punchline, so, is like, you know, she's on that. She's.
Do you remember the Nicki Minaj? Do you remember skinny Nicki Minaj? Or
yeah, I remember the freestyles she used to do
on the Biggie Rhythms.
Yeah,
and that.
Yeah, yeah.
Right, that Nicki there.
Yeah. Oh, I know. That's why I brought her up, because I think people underestimate. I mean, she did Monster, the Kanye tune. That for me, I was like, oh, she's here. That was a big tune. But those freestyle, you know, there's certain MCs that really do it. You know, and it's from source. You can just hear that, you know.
Nicki definitely for me is one of those artists that, you know, she got bars, and you know, I'm not mad at her for making her money because I know her history. You know what I'm saying? So I know that I've heard her doppy those freestyles, bro. You know what I mean? And now you're on Starships and you're doing your thing, and Starships are meant to fly. Yeah, do your thing. Yeah, make your money. Because I got pleasure out of them early freestyles, man. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's all good. And she shows every now and again that she can still bring it back if she wants to. Yeah. So it's all good for me.
Yeah, whatever artists are there that like. That you would say fall in line with the integrity and value that you share as an artist. Like Redman's a good example, you know, and the like. That era.
That era, you had to, you know, so if you're talking Red, you're talking Jay, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But then, you know, if you want to bring it all the way forward, then I'm looking at like a J. Cole, who I think has got that integrity. I think he's got the bars. And when all of that crew, actually, to be fair, like all that crew, they got their bars. And even the baby, I think he's got bars when he's ready. You know what I mean? And
Dave East,
yeah, definitely. But you know what? The reason why I didn't mention him is because I probably would take him back to. Although you forget that he's a younger,
what
I mean? Like he's not in the Nas era, although he's that, you know, associated. But yeah, Dave East and all those guys, man, definitely talking about some real bars there.
Yeah, for sure, for sure. Conway the Machine.
Oh shit.
The only thing I was
Griselda.
Saying, like, bro. Oh shit. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. So there. It's
but
there.
I'm not sure they always choose their. I mean, they got some awesome producers and beat, but sometimes I think that the loops and samples they use overpower their own voices sometimes. Mm. Do you feel that?
I think when it comes down to it, yes, to a certain extent.
Because I like to hear the bars. I like to hear bars.
Yeah. But then, again, maybe it might just be a modern style of production where it's like, okay, cool, you know what, we're about these beats, you know? I don't know. And that, could that just be a mix thing?
Might just be a mix.
Do you know what I mean? It could be as simple as that, just, you know? But yeah, there's a lot of dudes out there that kind of they're killing it, man. And that's not to say I got any... you know what? I know that people are probably going to shoot me here. I don't have a problem with Drake.
Me neither.
No one's
got problems with Drake in this household. I'm telling you now. Drake's all right.
Drake's all right.
Because you know where he's come from.
Yep.
And you know that he throws down... He also holds the scene... as a badge of honour. He does come from a place, you know, he knows what he's talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think 100% I rate a Drake. Like, there's so many out there right now, and I don't fall for that whole line of the new MCs and lyricists, you know what I mean? Mm. Because I think that they are, and I think they're about there. I just think it's a new generation we need to accept. It's not even that we need to accept, you know, it's evolution. You know, when we all came out, when we all were doing our thing, you know, you had people look and go, no, that's not quite what it used to be.
Hmm.
Let it continue. Long may it continue.
Yeah. People were doing that with us.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know what I mean? It's like, so long may it continue, man. I love it.
That's right. So what's the future? You've got proper... Listen, there's multiple things going on with this man here. So you've got you're fundraising at the moment.
Yeah, fundraising at the moment. So I'm going to be on the 29th of July. I'm going to be cycling the length of the UK. But it's not... You know, I'm an MC, right? So, and I'm a person that does things a little bit different. So it's not going to be in the traditional way, which is like 800 miles or whatever. I'm going to be stopping at most major cities, right? So we start off Jana Groats, then I go to Inverness, then Edinburgh, Newcastle, Leeds, Huddersfield, Manchester, Liverpool, Birmingham, London, Exeter, Yeovil, and then Penzance. So I go to all these major cities, stop by, chat to people, blah, blah, blah. Because the whole reason I'm doing this is to raise money for three different charities, right? Three different charities. Wow. So I'm trying to raise $5,000 in total. If more than that is perfectly fine.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So people, please donate.
Yeah. Put the links down.
We'll put the links down. First one is Young Minds. And obviously, this is in no particular order. It's just, you know, Young Minds deals with young people between the ages of around 13 to 24. And the highest number of suicide is in those in that age bracket,
right?
And also self harming and that in the UK, especially when you look at things like COVID and how it's impacted people. If you think about it, a school kid, when we were going to school, that was your life, right?
Yeah.
Imagine they just come and take that away from you.
Yeah, big time.
It impacts you, you know. And they help young people with the challenges that they may be facing. Another one is called the I Can Charity, and that's for children that have got speech and language communication difficulties needs. So, because again, with these kids, especially in impoverished areas, they get forgotten.
Yeah, they do, yeah.
If you come from a well-to-do, affluent area, affluent family or whatever, you can afford to get that special help. Yeah. If you can't, you don't even recognize that that help's needed. So, I want to bring some awareness to that. And the third one is St. Vincent that got hit with a volcano.
Wow, yeah.
Not too long ago. And the repercussions of that and the displaced people have been displaced and so on, and a lot of people had to remain in St. Vincent because they hadn't had the jab. It makes
the British COVID the first world problem when you think about those
You think about all of that happening. So I'm just trying to raise as much money as possible so I can help and bring as much awareness as possible with my platform to these causes, because I think it's just imperative that, you know, we use what we have to help people.
That's fantastic. Well, three at once.
Yeah.
It's the magic number, I've been told.
It is indeed. that's the main aim. That's 29th of July, so I've got a couple of months until we get to that. And then I don't know when this is coming out, actually.
Oh, we'll just get it out. We'll get it out now. Yeah, we're here. So go and donate, get involved. All the links in the below. I'll put them on the screen as well. So yeah, make sure you donate. Spread the love, seriously, inside the place.
Brilliant.
Thank you so much for coming through, man.
Thank you so much for inviting me, bro.
It's a beautiful journey. Yeah.
man, it has to be, eh?
Yeah.
No, it's a great journey, and it's just great to be here. It's great to actually chat to yourself as well.
Yeah, you too, brother.
It's like I say, when we talk about legends, you know, bro, you're one as well, you know. And I know you
thank
know.
Thank
you,
brother. I appreciate you saying that. From you, I appreciate it. Because, you know, from the outside looking in, you know, we orbit, you know, on the same planet. And you just never know when you're going to connect, when it happens, and whether what you're doing even resonates in certain areas of this orbit. And it's fucking great. I really appreciate you saying that.
Bro, and you as well, man. Like, when we first connected, and you kind of mentioned, well, Ruska hollered me and said, oh, you know, Killer Kel's my holler. And I was like, same man that I know. Like, not even no, you know, like you. And it's like, yeah. I was like, man knows who I am. it was like that. It's like, yeah.
He knows the same one who takes me
oh,
back,
shit.
Right?
I was like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Because, bro, like, I've heard you on tracks and, you know what I mean? I know your history. You know what I mean? So I was just like, honored.
Oh, brother, thank you. Likewise. Thank you so much for passing through the trap, man. Fucking, seriously, inside the place. Come on. No games. Killer Keller podcast striking once again with all the love in the world to you lot. Stay lucky, all right? Don't talk to anyone I wouldn't. Take care of yourself. Sharing is caring. Peace.
Bang. Ah, man, so sick.